Yeah, Ruth and Orpah are following Naomi. They don't want to leave her. They want to follow her. They want to continue with her. They want to join the Jewish people, stay with the Jewish people. And Naomi tries to encourage them to leave her, not to continue with her. She tries to push them away. She tries once, but they cry and they continue. And then she tries again. She says, it's only going to be hard. There's nothing for you to gain anyway. And finally, she encourages Orpah. Orpah gives Naomi a kiss. He turns around and goes away. But Ruth continues and sticks after her mother-in-law Naomi. Chazal say in Midrash Rabbah that that night, Orpah on her way home had beer with 100 men and one dog. What? She planned on going with Naomi. She wanted to. Naomi was the one that was encouraging her not to come. Naomi was making it difficult for her. Why does Chazal right away assume, and they came down hard on Orpah, that she left her, she went off the derech, and that same night immediately she went straight down. Worse than you could imagine. The truth is, Orpah's great-great-great-grandfather did something similar. We know that she was from Moab. Moab was from Lot. Lot also, when he was traveling with Avram, so it says that Avram's people and Lot's people weren't getting along, and Avram said, we have to separate. And then the Pasuk says, when Lot turned to go his way, it says, Vayisa Lot Mikedem, which literally means, and Lot went towards the east, or from the east. And Rashi says that Lot left Kadmono Sha'olam. He said, E Efshi Ba'Avram, Be Efshi Ba'Lokav. I can't deal with Avram anymore. I can't continue with his God. Obviously, he didn't say this verbally. He kept on doing Torah and Mitzvot. He did Achnasa Rochim. He kept Pesach. But somewhere deep inside, by his being okay with and leaving Avram, there was a certain feeling of, thank God, I don't have to have that pressure. I don't have to have that intensity of holiness around me in my face all the time. What is it that Lot and Orpah went through that when they just stepped away from holiness, all of a sudden they fell so deep down? I think a couple of shots that we could say, they could all connect to each other. Imagine somebody doesn't have, never had a girlfriend before. And then one time, God forbid, they did have a girlfriend and had a deep relationship, and then at some point they break up. So now they're not the same person they were before they ever had a girlfriend before. Now they have an empty place in their heart. They feel like they're missing something, and something needs to fill that lack. So the best would be to hold out and they'll get married, but they have that lack inside that now needs to be filled. If somebody connects to Ruchni, if somebody connects to Torah and Mitzvot, which is something above and beyond what the regular everyday experience and feeling is. So now when they leave that, something needs to fill that void. Something needs to fill that emptiness. Once somebody takes steps forwards in Avodas Hashem, they can never turn back and be the way they were before anymore. They're either going to go up or they're going to go crashing down. There's no more going back to neutral zone the way they were before. Because once you're exposed to and you taste holiness, now you have the empty place in you. You're either going to fill it up with more holiness, or you're going to have to fill it up with God forbid, the opposite. Another idea also is that once somebody is exposed to the truth and exposed to something real and true, so now to not choose it is to reject God. It's to turn your back on Him. And then, once you're rejecting God, then the way that a person wants to go, if he's turning away from Hashem, so now doors open that go downwards, away from God. A person has to know that every step that he takes is opening up an entire path of new steps. You take a step forwards in a positive direction, another positive step opens up in front of you that can go in that direction. A person takes a step away, all of a sudden the next step away opens up in front of him, and then it becomes a spiral effect downwards. We learned this year, Gemara and Brachos, where the Gemara points out that Moshe, by the sneh, he turned his face. He didn't want to look at the sneh that was burning. He sensed there was a hole in it. He sensed there was some type of Gilui Shekhinah there, and he turned his face away. Later on, when he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he wanted Hashem to show him his face, Hashem said, that I'm not going to show you. So the Gemara said, Kishani Ratziti, Ata Lo Ratzita. Akshav Shata Rotze, Eini Rotze. When I wanted to show you my face, and I wanted to give you holiness, you turn your back, you didn't want it. And now that you're asking for it, now that you want it, I don't want it anymore. You lost your chance. When opportunities are put in front of a person for coming close to Hashem, and Hashem reaches out and opens up doors, and a person turns his back and rejects it, so it could be right then he's comfortable with that and he wants that. But there'll be times in the future where that won't be okay with him. He might want to have that connection. I might want to reach out. And then Hashem said, you turn your back on me. You weren't there for me when I reached out and I was ready to bring you close. Why do you think that now that you're ready, now that you're interested, because there's something that you need or something that you want, or you're feeling empty and something, right away, immediately, I'm just going to be there and make it easy for you? When we reach out to Hashem in our relationship here, we're setting a stage for what our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in future times when we need Him and we turn to Him, He's going to look to see what we did in the relationship in the past. Wherever there is a potential for growth and holiness, there always has to be, in order for it to keep Bechira Chavshi, in order to keep free will, there has to be a powerful, strong force working against it. We find that at the same time that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola asked Hashem to take away the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah, now we can't connect to it at all. We have no desire to bow down to things and to worship things. At that same time, that's when Nevuah left Bnei Yisrael. That's when there was no more prophecy. Because the two go hand in hand. A potential for greatness and a potential for falling come together. And if you want Hashem to take away that Yetzer, then also the potential for greatness in that area is taken away too. This base midrash, and you guys specifically as a group, have seen tremendous accomplishments and tremendous growth and tremendous mysterious nefesh and learning on behalf of probably everybody in the room and those also not in the room right now. We've done things that are beyond what we probably would have expected before we came here, and we push ourselves very hard at different points during the year. Not maybe always consistently from day one through till today, till the end, but we've definitely seen huge amounts of Kiddush Hashem done in the pushing that we did for learning, for growing, in midos and chesed, in watching our mouths and the way that we behave. And for sure we shook the heavens. We did big things with the learning that we did and the growth that we've done. So of course, the Satan and the Yetzer doesn't just let that go and say, oh, you know, go ahead. He comes, and he comes strong, and he tries to stop that. And he tries to create in the air a feeling of complacency, of, end of the year, senior year, it's like senior year again. Or people say, it's Kaidzman, Rabbi, you know, Kaidzman. As if there's like times of the year that are more like seasonal God times, and then there's like seasonal non-God times. There's no season for no God and season for Torah. No season for Torah. Torah is 24/7 all the time. A commitment. When you get married, you're not like sometimes, you know, a good husband, sometimes in the marriage, sometimes, you know, you go on vacation and you're not in the marriage. You commit to a woman and you're 100% for her completely. It's not like off times and on times and when you're feeling it, when you're not feeling it. It's all the time. Whether you're in the mood, you're not in the mood. Whether it's an easy time, not an easy time. Whether you're feeling good, whether you're not feeling good. You're a good husband. You keep your side of the commitment. A partner in business. You can't just like not be there for your partner during the hard seasons because this is, I don't like this season. I'm taking this season off. You do the work over here. When somebody commits to something, you want to be a man, you stand up. You commit to something, you stick it out. It doesn't matter whether it's hard, whether you're tired, whether you're feeling it, whether you're in the mood for it, whether it's almost over. Now there's no connection. That doesn't mean anything. How does somebody show their love for Kadosh Baruch Hu? Love means when all of your heart you give to Hashem. That means that sometimes your heart is pulling you in other directions, but you anyway give it to Hashem. Sometimes desires for money or, you know, pulling you in certain directions, anyway you give b'chol mo'odecha all to Hashem. Sometimes comforts, b'chol nafshecha, your physical comforts and your life make you want one thing. Anyway, you give it all to Hashem. But we say over and over each day to remind ourselves, is that we're committing ourselves to Hashem in everything. We're sacrificing, giving all of it to Hashem, to the relationship. Chazal talk a lot about, I'm thinking specifically about a Tanchuma in Parshas Noach, how Torah Shabbat is very difficult and it tries to push you away. It's very hard, and it's hard for a reason, because it wants to push away those that don't love Hashem. Those that love Hashem, it doesn't matter what you throw their way, they're going to keep on going no matter what, because there's no other option in their head but to do what's emes, to do what's right, to recognize the Creator and to serve Him. And when things are hard, that's the way to knock off those that weren't real in the relationship. When you're in a relationship with someone, you see that it was hard for them to be nice to you, and all of a sudden now they're not, now you know what they really feel about you. Now you could see who's really, you know, who's really committed and who's not really committed. Now, specifically, at a time that it's sometimes hard to learn, because you smell the summer coming, at a time that it's hard to learn because maybe the feeling in the air is not pushing, is not, you know, we don't missing Shana Bet, and some of us around us are a little bit weak and having a hard time. So we all work off of each other. And you know that at times of growth, there might have been, you know, a small group that started to work hard, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it created a movement of growth. So the same thing works in the other direction. When people are feeling light and they leave, or they don't come, or they go there, so it creates slowly that's contagious, and it catches on. It's a tremendous skus to be amongst those that start to create a movement towards pushing, a movement towards growing, a movement towards taking something seriously, towards using time, towards staying, oh Hashem, now you want, now you're ready to give to me, I'm still in yeshiva, I'm still in Eretz Yisrael, you want to get, I also want a relationship. I know it's hard, but I may not have this opportunity again in the future. I want to grab onto it now. I don't want to just let it slip through my fingers. The type of things that we're doing now, you have your whole life to do these type of things. So many opportunities to do this. You have now three and a half weeks to do something you may never ever have this type of a chance again. It's irresponsible to ourselves. It's not nice to ourselves and to the plane ticket that we paid for the tuition that our parents are paying, not to do what we ourselves wish that we did. At the end of the year, you will in 3-4 weeks from now, you'll be much happier looking back at a 3 or 4 weeks where you've accomplished, worked hard, and pushed yourself. There's no doubt that if you could right now, be 4 weeks from now, looking back, you want it to have been that the last 4 weeks of yeshiva, you pushed yourself very hard. It's only hard when the 4 weeks are in front of you, each day to now go ahead and push, so it's easier just to not let it, you know, let that day go by. But think about what do you want afterwards to have been the last 4 weeks in yeshiva. There's no doubt that everybody in yeshiva would have wanted to accomplish, to push, to grow in some type of a way. Sometimes also our Yetzirah tells us that, like, if I'm not going to work very hard, so fine, forget the whole thing. I can't do what I did in that month or in that month, so forget the whole thing. That's a classic Yetzirah line. You put to think, what am I able to do? What could I push myself to do? Am I able to get myself to learn a parak of Tanakh a day? Am I able to get myself to learn one or two Mishnahs a day? There's definitely a certain minimal amount that we can get ourselves to do. You commit ourselves to that, at least. And to fight against the feeling of complacency and let the year slowly slide away. Think about it. Some of the biggest things that went on in this Beis Midrash this year lasted 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 4 weeks. So there's definitely enough time left to do a lot of those big things that we did. I mean, that 1 week that we chazered 3,500 times. And now I think everybody in Torah Tragedy that was there during that week is still very much holding in the first 3,500 of Kiddushin. You ask them on it, they could find you the Gemara, they think about it a little bit, and you're going to remember it. That was just 1 week that took us. So we have a few of those type of weeks waiting in front of us. So it's not like, oh, it's too late, it's the end of the year. The same amount of time that it took us to catapult ourselves forward at other times during the year, we still have in front of us. So it's not a good argument that a Yetzar is making to herself that, it's the end of the year, let the year just slowly end. All right, bracha to ourselves, myself included, is that we use the time that we have left this year and we're mature about it, we use it, we're productive with it, and that we're able to look back in a few weeks from now happy with what we did with the 4 weeks that are left in front of us.
Guys, a tremendous opportunity right now. Upstairs in the porch. The fish bowl we take place in the porch.